number. I'm in that number. Sing that old chorus. I'll fly away.
Well, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
He set me free, yes.
be wonderful there. Wow, that was a weak amen. I only heard one amen. Remember how the song goes? Won't it be wonderful there, having the word instead of air?
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful? Thank you.
Sister Carrie Whitlock in prayer today, and also Sister Sabrina's cousin's daughter in prayer. She had major back surgery, so we want to lift her up in prayer that all will go. Well, she's had the surgery, so we want to pray for healing. Lord, we'll just give her a quick recovery. And I want to remember Lucas and Haley and Peter and Rachel as they're away. I believe the Clayvilles are also away. So we want to lift them up in prayer. Lord, we give them journeying mercies. If you have a need on your heart, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father this evening. Lord Jesus, Lord, your Holy Spirit is a comfort to us, Lord. We sang the songs of praise, the songs of Zion, Lord, just to calm our spirits, Lord. And Lord, to invite you to come tonight, Lord, and just dwell amongst us, Lord Jesus. And we trust that you feel welcome, Lord, tonight. Lord, we've read these needs and just lay them before the throne of grace. Just ask you, Lord, that you would come in a special way, Lord, that you would just move each and everyone's heart, Lord, the desires that they've had placed before you, Lord, with hands raised. Lord Jesus, we just ask that through the preaching of your word tonight, Lord, prayers would be answered. Thank you for the many things that you have done, Lord, amongst us in our midst, Lord. We give you praise and give you worship for that, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, knowing that you're going to continue because you are a living God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, nothing pleases you more than just answering our prayers, Lord. Just thank you for that. Lord, we pray tonight for Chris Tate as he would come this evening and just bring forth your word, Lord, that you just remove him out of the way, move him aside, or that thought you've placed on his heart would just come through with clarity and just speak to us, Lord. We are excited people, Lord, just sitting here at your feet wanting to hear exactly what you have for us. Lord, have your way for the remainder of the song service, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, "I cast all my cares upon you."
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know what to do.
bless the offering and tithing, Lord, to your purpose, Lord. We just want to say we thank you and we love you. Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. So we get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry. You would come and sing a little chorus. Keep your mind stayed on me. See.
Oh, keep your mind stayed on me, stayed on me, faithfully, and I will give
release if you'll just keep your eyes stayed on me. Why don't we stand and sing that again tonight now? Oh, keep your eyes stayed.
Bless you. We certainly do miss all of those that are not here, but we welcome all of you that are here, and may God bless you. Good to have the Britons back on deck, and we missed you. Good to have the Takes here, and this is him. This is the guy who was supposed to be here. Now he's here, and we're glad to have Brother Chris come by and be with us tonight. Good to have the Hughes back tonight. God bless you, and so we're just looking for time of fellowship tonight around the Word, and I just think it's nice on Wednesday night to be able to come aside informally and just be able to sit down and learn and study the Word and be ministered to. I just think that's a wonderful thing. Amen. So I just wanted to say to you that just a reminder for our young people that we have the Winter Youth Retreat registration is open. If you have not registered, you should. They're almost full. They're not full, but they're almost full. So we want to make sure you're aware of that and then let folks know if they're not aware. And then also we have our meeting coming up on the 13th, 12, 13, 14. Is it 12, 13, 14? 13, 14, 15. It's that weekend. It's after this weekend. And we're looking forward. We got a lot of interest and a lot of folks that are coming. So We're excited about that, and we just trust that the Lord will minister to our hearts during that time. And everyone is able to come to those meetings, right? Right. I want everybody to say everyone.
Everyone. Everyone.
Say it again.
Everyone.
Everyone. Not just our young people, but everyone. Good to have Brother Johnny and Sister Doris back.
Amen.
We appreciate you dropping by every now and then and visiting with us. It's good to have you back. We miss you. We always miss you when you're gone, and great to have you. I'm going to ask you to remember one thing in prayer, and then we're going to sing again and then turn it over to Brother Chris tonight. My brother Mark, he's a year and a half older than me, and a little while back we asked you to remember him. He had a heart issue, and basically has done fairly well. And then I just found out 2 days ago he had another heart issue. And it was kind of serious. His blood pressure was extremely high, and he was having trouble. They couldn't rouse him from sleep, and so he wound up going to the hospital, and then he's back home again. And he says, told me he's doing well. I don't believe him, but he told me he's doing well. And so we had planned already to go, and visit in Canada this coming weekend. And we're only going for a very short stint. So it'll be, we're leaving Friday, Lord willing, and we'll be back on Monday. So you'll be in good hands while we're gone, but we had already planned to be gone on this coming weekend, and now I'm really glad that we're able to go and just to be able to visit with him and encourage him, because it was difficult for him to go through that again. So if you don't mind remembering him in prayer, just that the Lord will undertake for him and give him the healing touch that he needs, because it just seems to be following him, just seems to be tracking him. So we just want to pray that the Lord will give him strength for sure. He and I were pretty close, as you know from my testimony, and we certainly want the very best for him. So if you don't mind remembering that, that would be much appreciated. So let's sing one more time. We're going to turn it over to our brother Chris, and we appreciate him coming and his tour this time and traveling around, and we're just honored to be able to have him come with us. He lives in Ohio now. And we'll probably see more of them over the next little while. So, Brother Chris, we appreciate you being here tonight, and we'll turn it over to you. Let's sing that little chorus again. Keep your mind stayed on him. And, you know, as I've said many times before, Brother Chris doesn't know a whole lot about us. He doesn't know what you're into. He doesn't know what you're struggling with. But God does. And real ministry is when the Holy Spirit can take a hold of a person's gift and use it despite the person. We're not interested in hearing from Brother Chris. We're interested in the Holy Spirit using the gift that's in him to minister to our hearts. That's what real ministry is all about. And it takes a good man to get out of the way and just, you know, realize, I don't know what these people need. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what the conditions are, but God does. And so if I can get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit come in and take over, we'll go away with something tonight. And that's what's important. So make your requests known now. And say, Lord, have him speak to my heart and have him come on the scene for me. And God has ways of doing that. So let's sing tonight one more time.
Bless you all. Good to be here. Thank you, musicians and everyone. Brother Barry, thank you for having us. Just swinging by and visit the Ashdowns, and they've been putting up with us for a couple of days. And I bring greetings from my pastor, Brother Nathaniel Sias, and we're in Lorain, Ohio. So we don't live in Lorain, but we live outside of Lorain. I always clarify that because Lorain's an interesting place, but our church is there. Kind of like Brother Sam, the church is in the Bronx, but he didn't live there, right?
No one would.
Yes. So we're just happy to be here. And I love Wednesday nights. I don't have any kind of show or tricks that I have to produce. I just let the Lord speak to our hearts, and we go home hopefully a little bit better than we were when we got here. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful to be here tonight. And Father, we have known nothing to bring but our vessel that you can use it, Lord, both in the speaking and in the hearing, Lord. We come face to face with your word, and many times we find something that must be changed, something that must grow. And Lord, with that can sometimes come overwhelming. But Lord, you never wished for that, Lord Jesus. You just wished for us to lean into your grace, Lord. Yes. I pray your sovereign grace would just minister to us tonight, Lord. That you would help us to lay ourselves aside in your presence, Lord. May your word just come and be rightly divided to us, and that you would just have the preeminence tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. So I'd like to speak tonight on the power of revelation. And the subtitle is For the Overcomer. The power of revelation. We just read it here in verse 4. It says that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And, you know, we're familiar with Brother Branham talks about faith and how faith is a revelation. And, right? All right, good. Do you guys read the message too? Okay. So I was thinking about revelation. And to me, it's kind of like this. I only have 3 slides. So it's kind of like this. I don't have glasses, so I don't know. But anyone who does wear glasses would know what this looks like. But this would be like a nearsighted. It's an example. It's a simulator of a nearsighted person without glasses on. So to me, revelation is, you know, you have a child and they're growing up and you begin to see these tendencies where maybe they're squinting, or you ask them to tell you what that is or read that for you or whatever it might be, and they get it wrong, or there's these characters that just kind of surface in their life, in their everyday life. And the thing of it is they were born like this, so they don't have a clue what it actually is supposed to look like. So I think it's Isaiah or Jeremiah says, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. So when we begin to grow up, we have no idea what right looks like. And so if we have good parents, they raise us and they teach us what right looks like. It's always a good thing for me, and I am not ready to give parenting advice. I'm 11 to 18 months, so we're still working on it. But it's fascinating to me to see, as my children grow, to remind myself they don't know how to act right. I have to teach them that. Now, they might have personalities and characteristics that they are born with that tend towards the right. We have children who are just, you know, they'll jump up and clean up the mess, no matter how old they are, and the other ones will just keep growing older and keep leaving the messes behind them, and we keep teaching them the right way to do things. And when we tell them no, we have to teach them what the word no means, right? We have to teach them, you know, it's not safe to run across the street. And as they grow up, then now we are responsible to teach them what is the right way. The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. So we have to show them the right way. So, I mean, quite a large responsibility that we have, but the Lord has given us something to train them by. But here's the caveat, is that we are growing ourselves. Yeah. And so we are spiritual children. Yeah. And we're looking to say, Lord, sometimes we have a situation in front of us just like this, and to us it looks perfectly normal, because this is how we've always seen it. But this is the power of revelation. This is what revelation does. God, because Brother Branham says, God comes in His sovereign grace. In His grace, He comes and He shows us, He gives us revelation. We can't go down to Dollar General and buy a case of revelation. We can't come and meet Brother Barry in the office and say, give me some revelation. they've done that, and we have lots of, you know, 200 and 600, what, 3,000 denominations, whatever it is. I watched your service Sunday, so then I went to worldcouncilofchurches.com myself. Interesting website. But there's a lot of them. And they all had this because they got together and said, well, what is our revelation? And they decided on something. And if you know, if you have the history of the church, you remember the Church Age book, and Brother Bam talks about the Council of Nicaea. That's what they did. They were all arguing about the Godhead, and they decided we're going to sit down and settle this. We're going to pick something to go after, and they came up with the Trinity, and that's the fourth grade version. But they decided, okay, what is our revelation? And without knowing it, they continued in this way. Because they needed God to show them. But the thing of it is that Brother Branham says, you stick with the Word, and God will open your eyes.
Amen.
You stick with it. You keep feeding on it. You keep reading it. You keep praying for God to give you revelation. And you keep getting yourself out of the way by surrendering more to Him, and He opens your eyes. Now, once you know, once a young person has gotten glasses for the first time, and they begin to see the world actually how it is, you can never convince them again they don't need glasses. Because they know that this picture is not right. They know that this is blurry, and when they see this, they go, oh, I forgot to put my glasses on. It's the same thing with Revelation. Once the Lord has opened your eyes to something, it doesn't matter how influential that person is in your life, they cannot change your mind. You have seen the picture. You have seen what it means to be whole. Right? Jesus Christ came in our day and revealed Himself through the opening of the Word through the prophet. And we are feeding on that, and as we feed on that, we are getting a puzzle. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. If I gave you a puzzle, you know, you might go for the edge pieces, but what's one of the first things you're going to do before you start putting that puzzle together? Look at the picture. Why? Why can't you just figure it out? You know, the Lord didn't hand you this and say, figure it out. He gave you a picture. And He's building that picture. And every time you come to church, He's adding to that picture. Amen. And now you're seeing it. And now you go, you see it, you say, wow. And now you go, you begin to put those pieces in place in your life. And even when we know the picture, sometimes we come upon a piece, we can't figure out where it goes.
Yeah.
But if you're a real puzzle enthusiast, which I'm not, but I'm sure there's some here, you just spend time. And you just spend time with the puzzle.
Yeah, right.
You spend time with the picture. You look at the picture. You know, Paul said, seeing through a glass darkly. That's like looking at a mirror. Looking at the mirror of the Word. You keep looking at that. That's what it looks like. And then you go back to the puzzle.
Yep.
And you say, Lord, give me revelation. Sometimes pieces just fall into place. Boom, 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 boom. Like the edge pieces, right? Those are easy. We know, hey, this has got an edge on it. Like this goes here. You know, it's like go to church. Boom, edge piece. Right? You would think so anyways. Right? There's little things where it's like, I call them self-evident truths. You know, Brother Bam does say revelation, but he says it's plain in the book.
Amen.
So the edge pieces, we could say, are the plain things in the book, self-evident truths. You read the scriptures and you know, hey, I got to do this because it says so. Now you pray for God to give you the discipline to carry that out, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He says in the Church Age book, he says, if revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God for it. That is the only way you're ever going to get it. A revelation has to come from God. So the subject, the power of revelation, I mean, that's a huge subject, and you could spend many, many series on it. But if you think about it, we're talking about for the overcomer. The bride of Jesus Christ is those who overcame the beast or the Antichrist spirit in the age that we are living in.
Yes. Yes.
So the bride is the overcomer. So what's the thing? If this is the picture the devil is showing you and you don't know any better, you're going to follow this picture. But when God comes and show you, He exposes the devil, now you know. Now you know what He's doing. Now you know what He's up to. The power of that is when He shows you Himself.
Yeah, right.
Like we can talk all about the fake dollar bills, but you show somebody a real one. I got one today at ATM. I got a few $100 out of the ATM, and one of them was that funny off color. First thing I did was hold it up, make sure it's real. It had the little bar thing in it, right? Because I've seen a real one. I know what I'm looking for. As a kid, I went to the ice cream truck You know, Dad gave me some cash, and I got an ice cream, and I got a fake $10 bill. And I didn't have any idea at all about it. I just thought, this looks a little weird, you know, because we'd copied, you know, dollar bills on copy machines, kids, fake money. And that was fun. And then Dad was like, you know, that's a felony offense. Because we were getting really creative, trying to make it just right. Oh, really? Okay. So, but I had no idea. And then Dad had said, hey, this is a fake $10 bill. Here's a real one. Of course, the ice cream truck guy said, I don't know how you got that. But once you know the real thing, then there's no, you don't have to worry about it. So what God does is he shows you, because what is, we call it the Antichrist. So in other words, he's going to try to convince you that this is Christ. That's his job, right? But for him, because of what he did in the Garden of Eden now, you're born thinking that's right. So God has to come to you, and as you grow up, you know, the Lord will do many things. Sometimes the Lord will have you raised in a message home, raised in a believing home. Sometimes he'll have you raised out in the world. However it might be, God has a path, and he has a plan for you to follow out. At some point in time, though, he's going to show you the real picture, and you're going to have to receive it. Okay, so. God came to Cain and told him the real picture. He said, all you got to do, he already had the picture. Cain looked over there while Abel was doing his sacrifice, and Cain thought, that guy's ridiculous. Doesn't he know this is what it looks like? And then God blessed Abel's sacrifice, and God told Cain, all you got to do is the same thing that he did. So God told him, this is the picture. But Cain didn't want to accept it. Now, we can't help that. That's Cain was serpent seed. Right, but in our lives, we're believing that we are just seed of genes of God. Yes. So, but because of the fall, we are, that seed gene of God is encapsulated in fallen flesh. Yes. So when God shows us the real picture, we have to fight with the serpent. We have to fight with Cain. Abel is raising up inside saying, this is the way to do it. And God is echoing back to that. Brother Branham called that the deep calling to the deep. So Abel is speaking to the real sacrifice, to the real worship, right? And God is confirming that. And Cain, our flesh, says, but I'd rather stay home. Or I'd rather, you know, I'm comfy in these, you know, clothes. Whatever that may be, real clothes or just your character, right? You know, that the world would love us to just say, hey, this is how I am. Take me at. Just this is just deal with it. This is who I am, without removing the responsibility that we have to grow in maturity. Just as a regular human being, we appreciate it when we go to the bank and the teller is a mature human being, whether they're a child of God or not. We appreciate that they're respectful, that they can do their job. They're not asking me how to do the job on their computer. They know they're mature. They have the character for the position. We appreciate it when our leadership and government have some maturity and some character, right? So it's baked into society, because it's baked into the universe, I should say, because God created the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
So now what we have to do, Brother Branham said, there's only one thing that you can do. That's surrender your self-will. Surrender your desires.
Yep.
But God is so gracious, because remember, he gives you revelation based on his grace. His sovereign grace will come. And Brother Branham says he woos you. So he begins to minister to you. He begins to speak to you. But you must be speaking to him. You have to be listening to him. There's a scripture that says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. I'm going to jump here if I can find it. He says, faith cometh by hearing, but hearing is not faith. A loaf of bread is purchased for 25 cents, but 25 cents is not the loaf of bread.
Amen.
Hearing only brings the word that produces faith. Then you see, you hear the word, God reveals it to you, that is the truth, and by Spirit revealed truth confirms your faith to God. So as you listen to the word of God, as you feed on the sermons, I always make a joke, you can't say tapes anymore. Sorry, folks. You know, some of the older generation, Brother Tom's like, no.
Yeah.
Brother Barry?
No.
No. there are some of us who well, anyways. the sermons of Brother Branham and coming to church. Why is it that the devil just fights that so much? Right? I mean, it's so much easier to get on YouTube and pick up a book or a puzzle. Right? There's a lot of things. It's just easier to just give into that. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you know what, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Because without it, who would we be? Because the world is so hooked up on making themselves happy that they just, without realizing it, completely abandon their family, completely abandon. I mean, that passion might be their job, right? It doesn't have to mean they become a deadbeat sitting on the couch 24 hours a day. They might just lose themselves in their career, and then they get to the end of it and all they have is a bunch of numbers. But it's always easier, in a sense, to cave to the flesh. But easy always has a cost, right? We've all heard that saying, there's no free lunch. It doesn't matter. So when Jesus says, my burden is, take up my burden, right? It's light, it's easy. It's still a burden. He says, take up your cross. You're still having to give something of yourself, but his burden is light. The burden of the enemy is not light. Once he locks you down, now you are pulling for your life. Brother Branham does talk about you have to trip over the cross to go to hell. Because God in his grace constantly reminds you, constantly puts something there. Okay, so we're talking about the believer serving God. He says back in the Church Age book, he says it has to be a revelation from God. It says in the Word that no man can say that Jesus is Christ except by the Holy Ghost. He says you have to receive the Holy Ghost, and then only then can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, God the Anointed One. He says we need to call on God, ready, not for more money, a better job, a nicer car, a more comfortable home, not even a better marriage. He says, although we pray for that, he says the number one thing that we need to call on God for is revelation. Because here's the thing. I have to keep checking if I'm on the blurry picture or not. Here's the thing. If you're convinced this is marriage, when this is marriage, what kind of marriage will you have? Chaos. Right? But you see, the world is the Spirit. You know, it's so easy to say the world, and we point way out there while he's just having a heyday within our own walls. But we look inwardly and say, okay, the spirit of Cain, the spirit of that fallen flesh, that where we were born thinking this is marriage. And as God begins to train us and begins to raise us into the admonition of the Lord, begins to show us the truth, what is the point? Why did we get a message that you know, we talk about the opening of the Word and the seven seals, the third pole. What was that to do to show us that this is what marriage looks like? He says, Paul says, but I speak of a greater mystery, that of Christ and the church. So all of the way that God, and I know, why am I speaking on family at the number one, you know, seminar? I mean, this is the family seminar guy. No kidding. You can smile, you can laugh, you can relax. How do we know what it's supposed to be like unless God begins to show us? And as he begins to show us, for a time, we're catching glimpses. I don't have it, but on this website, you can make it really bad, nearsighted, and you can slowly work your way back. So if I had that, I should have put more in here, but it's a slow zooming in, right? You ever put your iPhone to take a picture and, you know, it catches something real close and the far away is super blurry and you keep tapping the screen till it focuses on what's out there. That's what God will do. That's the way that God works in Revelation. He doesn't just wham, like here it is, like whoom, like a big dictionary, just boom, right on your desk. He gives you glimpses as to what he's trying to show you. So he slowly brings it into focus. You know, Brother Branham, a good example of this is Brother Branham talks about that the rapturing faith is in the Word of God. So it's the rapture is a revelation. Amen. So when you know, if so be it, and I'm use this as example, that a loved one knocks on your door and that's your cue. Hey, it's happening. I believe you're not going to be surprised. Right. Because if God, when God deals with you and he begins to show you a truth in the scriptures, show you a picture of marriage and what it looks like, he builds up to it until one day it clicks. And you look back and you go, wow, we don't have those fights anymore. We don't have these issues anymore. And you realize that God has been slowly bringing you to it till you get that picture one day. Now you get the picture and you see what it looks like. And now you pray, God, show me how to implement that, right? It's the picture of the puzzle. So when the rapture, those loved ones that have gone before, they come, if that's how God has it, and they come knock on your door, you're going to open that door and say, I knew you'd be here today. As God begins to open your eyes to it, the picture becomes more clear.
Yes, man.
But you see, we can get discouraged sometimes. And we can say, I want it. I want it clear. And I want it clear right now. And so what we do is we do the same thing Eve did, and we jump ahead of God. But the man says Eve would have had her children. They would have been spoken word children, but she was in a hurry. So she got ahead of God. And we are paying for that mistake thousands of years later. So if we're not careful, we can see, we kind of begin to see that, you know, it's a little bit clear. As the picture begins to get more clear. And we have to remember that he said if revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God. What time did I start? 7:30? Beginning. So that's always been the problem. We can't figure it out. So we bang our heads against the wall. We dig and 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 we dig. But we dig with the wrong understanding, right? Because Brother Branham, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Says, search out your salvation with fear and trembling. Brother Branham just told us, the word, the word, the word, and then God opens his eyes to you. But if you're reading the word with anxiety and stress, that you're trying to, I gotta figure this out. It's not that God is leading you through the word, leading you to feed on the word of God. You are pushing into something. And people, I've seen it, people will just lose all hope. They'll get overwhelmed and they'll just say, it's easier, it's just too much. And then if they're not careful, that goes to, well, you know, Brother Branham's not a prophet.
Sure.
Because once you see something clearly, once you see a clear picture, you just can't go back to the fake. You can't go back to the blurry one. So if you're trying to, you know, this is, and I know this is really close to home right now. But the anti-message thing is just, I feel like it's, I don't know, I'm not as in touch with the whole world, but I feel like it's just getting big again. Like, it was like a lull for a while, and now there's a bunch of people leaving again. That's what it feels like. I could be wrong. But, you see, if we worked really hard to try to go and convince somebody that Brother Branham is the prophet, they're looking at a picture like this, and we're trying to convince them of the other picture. But here's the thing about Revelation that we don't have control over. We can't show them this picture.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's why it's Revelation.
That's right.
You can try. And when you try, they just get confused. That's why God comes and anoints a minister. Or God anoints a conversation. Because now God is speaking. Right? God in that person is speaking to you, whether that be as a counseling session or a church service or conversation. There's a need in your heart, and God is activating that person, and he begins to speak to them. And they might say something that they didn't even know, but in that moment, God is speaking. And when God speaks, then you see the clear picture. So let's not give up on witnessing. Right? Let's yield our lives to the Lord. Because I read a quote recently. Brother Branham was at some meetings, and he tells Brother Billy Paul, he says, go tell Brother Baxter, I'm not going to be able to do it tonight. I can't preach. I'm too much in turmoil. I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to be able to do it. Please, I think he'd been there for a while having meetings. Please have Brother Baxter go and take the meetings. So Brother Billy Paul says, okay. And Brother Branham gets on his knees and begins to pray. And as he's praying, He begins to hears somebody speaking in German, and that there was a young man or somebody that he knew maybe was there at the hotel with them, and he thought, well, maybe he's outside the door, And he said, I realized I was the one speaking. He said, so I stopped and I waited until he finished. He says, when he got done, he said, I felt like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I went running out the door. I said, Billy Paul. And he was there he had stopped to give himself a soda pop. And he's like, I'm going to preach. So he goes, they ministers. They find out after the meeting, a woman was on her way down several hours driving to get to the meetings because she wanted to be prayed for because she was sick. As they were driving, she began to hemorrhage. Blood was coming out from everywhere. So she said, get me out of the car. I don't want to die in the car. Get me out of the car. So they get her out of the car, pull over, put her on a nice piece of grass, and they all check their watches to record time of death. And all of a sudden, she jumps up, perfectly whole, and goes running down the street praising the Lord. Brother Branham asked him, what time was that? And it was the exact time when he began to speak in German in a tongue, right? Speaking in tongues. He says, the Holy Spirit couldn't wait any longer and used me to intercede for himself to heal her. Amen. So Brother Branham had nothing to do with it. God dropped down. Those are his words. The Holy Spirit didn't have time. Sometimes he says stuff that just give you pause to think, right? So he took a hold of that vessel and used him to intercede on her behalf. So, when we yield to the vision can then minister to those around us. Amen. That can happen, apparently, across the state, across the world. Maybe we'll go entire lives and we'll never have this episode where we begin to speak in German, and it's God and interceding for somebody. But what about in our families? If we get a hold of the vision, and this is what we see, you see, this is where we messed up, the message culture messed up in the early years about, hey, the man is the man of the house, right? We kind of had this vision a little bit, and we jumped ahead of it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, but then God began to minister to us and open our eyes to it, and now if you try to say, look, honey, this is how it is, you can't give her a revelation. But if you begin to live the vision, then this is the cool thing. Is he said in our day, he would be the word in flesh in you and I. So as we get in connection with the vision, we get in connection with the revelation of the word of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ begins to show upon us to the people around us. And as your wife watches you from day to day, suddenly she begins to catch a vision. You know, and we all wanted that day where we come home and sit in the easy chair and she sits on our lap like Brother Benham talks about, gives us a little shoulder rub, right? Suddenly, the word begins to manifest in your family.
Yeah.
You say, brother, that's just not spiritual enough. I think it is. I think that's exactly what God's vision is.
Yeah,
and we're trying to, we've been sorting this out for some time. You know, it was supposed to end in 77 and it didn't. So I wasn't born until 92. So I don't really have any room to talk. But I was a little kid. And I paid attention to people around me. I paid attention to the ministers and what they were saying. And you can see that there was this, you know, God has been, you can see if you look back over the time, for me it'll only be 30 years, look back over that time and see how God has. We got ahead of the vision and we went running around the world with this, saying, well, but we have a whiteboard and the Pentecostals don't have a whiteboard. Or we've got green dry erase boards with orange markers and the Pentecostals, they don't. But the people are asking for us, but what does it actually look like? So we have all of this stuff. We call it false doctrine. You know, and there's a whole list I saw the other day of all this. You know, got Perugia and Return Ministry and Tape Only and all of these things because we sort of had the picture and we went running with it. Now, I believe that God used that and now it's all over the world. But what God is doing right now as we get to the close of time is he's showing us this is actually what the message looks like. This is actually what I came for. This is why I want you to be the spitting image of me.
Amen. Amen.
That's what Jesus Christ is telling us.
Amen.
And that's going to manifest itself in such a humble and simple way in marriages the world can't put their finger on.
Yeah.
in children growing up that the world can't put their finger on.
Yeah.
An integrity and an honesty of a man that the world just can't put their finger on. And try as hard as they can, even the Mormons can't impersonate it. I come from out west, where all the Mormons are. I grew up with them. Great people. I mean, if you're looking, if you're lonely, they're good. You can get along pretty well. They've got some good morals so far, right? But you know, when we were moving out here in February, we broke down in Utah, Salt Lake City, and had to get some new tires on my truck. And the old man there, I don't even know if he could see me. You know, he was just really pretty old guy, and he's still working at the tire shop. And he goes, "Oh, Cleveland." He's like, "Good, you'll be close to the temple." You know, I had a wife in skirt and I had 5 kids. So he just jumped to conclusions. So I said, "Okay, thank you." So something that the world sees, and sometimes you can have the outside, but really what brings the outside under control? The spirit within. And what activates the spirit within? If the Mormons can impersonate it pretty well, or whoever else, and there's, you know, fundamentalist holiness people out there that have it, why is it that there's something about the fellowship that doesn't quite click? Why is it that the word, there's spots they skip over or they leave out? What is it that doesn't click? If the outside looks correct, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
Revelation operates in the spirit. Excuse me. Revelation operates in the soul.
Yes. Yes.
You hear the word and you bring it into your mind, and your mind is in your spirit. And then it goes, you know, from your head down to your heart, right? You hear it. You hear the words ministered tonight, but then God, I'm up here and I'm reading quotes and I'm reading scriptures and I'm talking about Mormons and you're laughing. But then God comes and he takes the message that was delivered tonight, and through revelation, because you say, "Wow, Lord, amen,"
yeah,
it drops down into your soul.
Yeah. Amen.
And now that's the control tower. Yeah. It begins to manifest into your spirit, and your spirit begins to take control of your flesh. And this is a constant thing that happens. Remember, it's just like the high priest every year would go into the holiest of holies, put the blood, right? So it starts there, and then he would move back out to bring the message to the people. God does the same thing in our lives. We're a triune being. He puts that word in our soul. Once it gets there, then it changes you. Anything else outside of that is just, you're just a good reformed, whatever you want to put at the end of it. Reformed Pentecostal, Reformed Calvinist, Reformed message person, right? You're following a form. But when it gets into your soul through revelation, that's what actually changes you. And that's what makes, you know, you stand and say, "Well, you may not think he's a prophet, but I do."
Amen.
You may not think that this is what the word says, but I do. You see, it doesn't matter. It's the only thing that holds you.
Yeah.
Ready for this? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Okay? They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" So this is the picture back up here on the screen. This is the picture the world saw. Herod, I mean, this is Jesus. This is the guy, this is the person that's the Messiah that they'd all been waiting for and talking about. It's always fascinating to me that the very thing that they could not stand with him on was the fact that he didn't have a father, was the very thing that should have indicated he was the Messiah, born of a virgin. Right? It's like you've been reading this in your scrolls for how many hundreds of years, and it happens, and you go say, "Well, must have been a soldier." Right?
Yeah.
It's interesting how that works.
Yeah.
You see, but the disciples, they begin to get to know Jesus and they begin to spend time with him and hear him just like everybody else. But this is the picture. They said, oh, they think you're John the Baptist. Nice blurry picture. Elijah, Jeremiah. He says, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus turns to him and he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you. In other words, the Word revealed the Word to you. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So revelation is the very foundation of our existence as Christians. It's the very foundation an assembly is built upon. What is your revelation? You'll see this. You'll go and we'll, you know, we'll, the just, isn't the internet wonderful? There's all kinds of preachers, all kinds of different flavors out there. And you can find them sometimes and... And I remember a certain brother, good guy, wonderful ministry, nothing against him at all. And, you know, we'd probably be good friends. But his church was so nice and set. Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. Set in such a way, I was like, is this a Pentecostal church? So I did a quick Google and pulled up the church. Oh, okay, I know who this is. But you can pull up the website. But what do we do if we're trying to figure out, you know, is this a message church? We go to the statement of faith. But every church has that. You got these Baptist sects and different corners of each denomination. They all have their own statement of faith. And we ran into some people one time at lunch last summer, and real nice people. He was the pastor. You know, they very holiness looking. So I found their statement of faith, and it was pretty close. You know, about the same, close, but not all the way. But you go to see, because what is it? Is it whatever their revelation is the foundation of their assembly. Denominations, they have a foundation of their denomination. The difference is, it's not a revelation of the Word. It's a revelation, but it's not true revelation. So what we have to do then is we have to keep surrendering to the Lord Jesus. But just to use it as an example to show how much this is existent in Christianity, Christendom across the world, even for the people who say, well, it's Jesus as the foundation, or the Catholics say Peter's the foundation, yet they all have this statement of faith. Somebody's looking for a church to go to, you know, they want to find out, right, what do they believe? So it's the foundation. So if the foundation of what you believe, if the foundation is the revelation of Jesus Christ today, that is where you find your victory. That is where you have victory in your family. That is where you have victory in your assembly. You see, revelation is how he said it. He said, we need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. It's the foundation. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. He says, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. What is the new birth then, you'd say? Well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. That ought to show us just how important true revelation really is. And we can't, here's the crazy part, and it just drives us, you know, our religious flesh crazy, is he has to give it to us. We can't just go read the book and say, you know, here, hey, welcome to HPT. Here, you read through this and we'll quiz you next week. And then we know if you have revelation. It's not. It's for the human, for a being bound by time, it's very abstract. But he has called us to step out of time. He says, look, stop thinking about all of this in your time-bound mind and stop trying to figure it out and stop trying to put the pieces together, and I will lead you unto all truth. Amen. And he said, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So as you yield to him, and some people are going to be further along in Revelation and some people are going to be this spot, they're all different spots. But organization, man-made organization can't handle that. We've got to all be on the same playing field. You know, you can't walk in one day with a revelation that I don't have. You know, that won't work, especially if I'm the preacher and you're out there. You're in a pew. Like, you can't having be more than me or any kind of weird situations like that, right? It's all going to be, and then they don't want confusion. Let's all keep, we'll do the same thing. And as soon as somebody breaks out of that, they go find another place to fellowship at that lines up with what they think the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
So that's why it's so hard. And for us in our flesh, you know, we wish it was just a nice bulleted list. Especially us men, you know. Brother Ben is just like, yes. I explained to my wife the other day, I was like, you know what? Why? Like, if I'm going to bake something, which I hardly ever do, I want, like, here's the ingredients. Here's the bulleted list of ingredients. Then here's how you mix them. Then here's the next bulleted list of ingredients, and here's how you mix them. Instead of all the ingredients up top and then the directions below. She just shook her head and walked away. She says, well, I'm glad my brain doesn't work the way yours works. So if we're not careful, then we try to put God in that box. And that's not how God works. Because here we have Peter, who then just, I don't know, a few weeks later, a year later, says, like, I don't know that guy, and curses over the fire there, and well, he's being crucified, or he's being tried in the, not crucified, but tried by the Sanhedrin and places, and he says, no, I don't know him, 3 times. And then the cock crows, and he realizes. But the interesting thing about that situation is that you say, well, he had a revelation, so how did he mess up? Well, he was missing something, right? That came on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit in his life. But as soon as he realized what he had done, because of the pressure, he was smitten in his heart. He was so ashamed of what he had done in that moment that you could see the true Peter. But you see, what the Word does in your life is the Holy Spirit comes, you see, because we don't have to be Peter. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given Christ in our day. And so he comes to us, and what he does is he gives us the revelation and the power to stand on that revelation.
Amen.
Because what will happen is you will be tried, right? He gives us faith, which Brother Ram talked about faith and revelation. He gives us faith, and then he challenges that faith because nothing happens outside of God's control. So he gives you the faith, and then he goes, are you sure you actually believe it?
That's right.
And he tries your faith.
That's right.
Yeah. Good. He tests your faith, right? So then you have to find it. You have to go to him. He tests your faith. He sends something along to test your faith. But it's time with him, it's relationship with him that gives you that strength to stand upon what he has shown you. Amen. So that's why we come to church, right?
Amen.
In Numbers 13, verse 30, we read about Caleb, very familiar person. We all love Caleb. Because Caleb stood against the other 10 spies along with Joshua and said, no, we can take the land. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So remember, we're talking about overcoming the wrong picture, whatever that picture might be in your life, whatever, I mean, anything, right? Overcoming the wrong, me and Sean were talking about this, overcoming the wrong perception of what a career for a young man is. Look, as a believer, our career is seek you first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And all these things shall be added unto you. But if we jump ahead of God, we get the career, and later on we seek the kingdom of God. When we have time, we seek the kingdom of God. We're living with a blurry picture.
Yeah,
we're living without our glasses.
Yeah,
and we'll stumble and trip over things. And we'll misunderstand our future. Because
right.
This is nearsightedness. So they can see right here. But you can't see 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, 8 years down the road. You can only see right here. And you think, this looks pretty good. It's crystal clear. I mean, can you tell in the picture? It's crystal clear right here. But when you seek first the kingdom of God, he makes even the things that are far out crystal clear. And he will show you, if you continue down this way, you know, like walking. There's another picture of a sports gym, right? You can't see the equipment, so you walk right into it out there. You go headed down a path, and that path ends in a road closed. But you never saw because all you saw was right here for you. Would you seek first the kingdom of God, the career that he has for you, the path that he has for you? Man, it might be the best one. And he just wants to see, you know what? Can I trust this young man with this much responsibility? How does God know he can trust you? The revelation that you have. The desire that you have. He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. And he was the man who said, you're the Son of God. So he sees you. He tries your faith. He sees, where's this guy at? What's he doing? You know, I mean, not too much longer. I'll be doing that with my young daughter. You know, like there's a guy there. What's this guy up to? You know, what's he after? What does he want, right? Some of you are already in that stage, right? So Jesus, the Lord is looking at you, which is, ready? Adoption. Son of God. Okay, Son of God. Cross the River Jordan. New birth. Now you're growing unto adoption, unto maturity. And he says, here's Jericho. Simple instructions. March around the wall 7 times. I'll handle it. Right? And most everyone did exactly what he said. Walked away from the spoils. Walked away from Jericho. But Achan couldn't, you know, he got the career before the directions of the Lord. And then that destroyed his family. It's exactly what happens. Or anything. It doesn't have to be a career. It could be a motorcycle. Or your game, your Xbox, your PlayStation, whatever they use now, your phone, your iPad, doesn't matter what that is, but we're talking about young men with their careers. And so, as you're going up to adoption, God tests you. This is what they talk about, but what Paul talks about in the New Testament when he's talking about adoption. The tutor comes to the father, and the father says, how's my son doing? Oh, he's doing really well? Okay, give him this responsibility. Give him more responsibility. And that's what God does in your life. We look at people, if we're not careful, we can be in a bad position financially, spiritually, and we can look at somebody and say, man, they got it so easy. Because they're just cloud nine, flying high, and I'm here stuck on the ground. But we don't always see what they went through as God tested their faith. Because it's a personal relationship. You know, you don't gather here every week and say, okay, and just go through every person individually, what their struggles were this week, what their tests were, how they did they overcome, did they fail, right? That's not what we do. So we don't know what's going on in somebody's life. It could be the best friend you ever had, but there's certain things that are between you and the Lord as he works through your life. And so then God gives you more responsibility. So Caleb, along the way, Caleb is going through the same desert, the same Egyptians, the same Red Sea, the same manna, the same quails, the same Mount Sinai, the same Ark of the Covenant, the same prophet, the same River Jordan as the other 10 spies. But they said, they went over there and they looked at it. They saw the picture, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it.
Right.
So they went over there. Actually, excuse me. They went over and this is actually what they saw. Excuse me. Let me back up. This is what they saw because they said, oh, the giants. They're too big. The cities are too walled. There's way too much adversity. It's too hard. You can't even see the whiteboard. And Caleb brought the whiteboard back. And he said, look, grapes as big as your head. Carrying out a stick, right? The land is full of goodness. We can do it. What was it? They saw the same thing, figuratively speaking. They went over there, physically saw the same things. Yet the 10 spies came back and said, nope, not possible. What was the difference? Caleb had a revelation that what God promised, God would supply.
Amen.
That everything, you see, when Moses was preaching, he was listening. When Moses was reading from the 10 Commandments and when Moses was sitting in council, he was listening. He was paying attention. He was seeking after the kingdom of God. And what did God do? Gave him his own mountain.
Amen.
God can do the same thing for you and I. The greatest success that we can have in our lives, though, is the spiritual mountains.
Amen.
Money comes and goes. Houses come and go. States come and go. I'm on my fourth. Right, God does things in our lives, and if we get so holded on to something that is material, something that is time-bound, and eternity walks up and says, you know, if you just let go of that, I have something for you.
But he wants us to let go first and say, no, Lord, whatever you have, whatever you want for my life, and then he leads you forward from there. And that was Caleb. And Caleb stood up and stood firm on the word because he had a revelation. There's an interesting point here in Paul. Paul, who was Saul, you know, Brother Branham says the disciples, they could have said, hey, you know, we have more revelation than you, Paul, because we walked with Jesus. We fished with Jesus. We were there when he said, throw your net over the side of the boat on this side, and we caught all of the fish. We were there. But Brother Branham says, but Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, rose again, and expressed himself in the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Knowing Paul, being a Jew, would have never called that Lord unless he had seen the expression. He was back, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Brother Branham is saying that Paul witnessed the vindication personally to him, that this is the God of, this is Jehovah of the Old Testament. And he came and said, he came in the pillar of fire, identifying himself as what Paul knew. Here's the point I'm making, what Paul knew. Paul knew the scriptures. Paul knew the scroll. And that's where God started with him. He came to Paul on what Paul knew. He came to him in the pillar of fire and said, I am Jesus. He identified himself based on the word that God knew. That Paul knew. So as you're journeying on in your revelation, God doesn't skip. There's no gaps. God doesn't skip forward or skip backwards. He reveals himself to you in pieces. And he goes off of what you know. He starts with where you are. I should say this. He starts with where you are. So you know, young people are struggling. And they say, well, if I could just fix my life. Or you have a marriage that's struggling. If I could just fix my marriage, you know, God could begin to move. And God is saying, no, come to me with what you have. Come to me, and then he begins. This is the greatest thing, because revelation, the power of revelation for the overcomer is this. All you have to do is set your sights on Jesus Christ. Don't set your sights. The devil wants you to stay caught up in the problem that you have, whatever that problem might be, and put all your energy and all your focus into fixing your problem, praying about your problem, discussing your problem, trying to overcome your problem. And God is saying, look, just seek me. Just put me first. Just pursue me and pursue me in my word, and the power of revelation will change your life.
Amen.
If we're not careful, we get the cart before the horse. And we're David there with the ark on an ox cart. But God is saying, no, wait on me. Pursue me. Jesus, David says, well, we it's got to be this way. We got to have the ark back. And so he jumped ahead of God. And so in our personal life, you say, well, we got to fix this. We got to do this. And kaboom, we blow the shotgun, the TV out with a shotgun, as they used to say. See, I'm young, but I remember that. But we jumped ahead. It's like, no, let God take the TV out. Let God take the Netflix out. Let God take the issues in your life out. And don't worry about it. I told the young man, I said, look, don't worry about it. I said, the issues you have, hey, I'm a guy too. Don't worry about it. Just serve God. Just put your foot forward and say, Lord, I want you more than anything else in the world. And all of the sudden, when the devil comes knocking on your door, you say, no thanks, I'm too busy with God. And me and Sean are talking about this too. If you're focused on what God has for you, and he puts something in your lap, on your desk, you go, wow, what's this? I wonder what this is about. And you pause to check it out. But if your focus is so busy, he's stacking manuals on your desk saying, look, if he just get a clue, I've got everything he needs for him right here. I've got the career he's looking for. I've got the wife he's looking for. But we're too busy saying, well, I got to get what I want. And there's a big stack. And then the Lord humbles us and we come back and we go, wow, there's a lot here to go over. And we begin to go through what he's given to us. But when our focus is on him, we catch it when he gives us something. But the man tells a story. He was flying, and I'm closing here in a few minutes. He was flying somewhere. His airplane got grounded. And the Lord told him, he either went for a walk first or something along the lines. I'm just going to take the liberty. You go back and double check my facts. But he steps out of the airport, and the Lord says, go walking down the street that way. And he stops, gets there, and then there's nothing. So he starts looking. You know, there's a fishing gear in the window. He starts acting like he's window shopping. There's a police officer running traffic, and he's feeling very awkward. And he's just standing there waiting. But you see, he was waiting, and he was praying, and he was paying attention to God. He was paying attention to what the Lord was doing. He had no idea, is this the Lord? Is this me? But he gave God a chance. The world, we have sped everything up to the point now we're taking pills to slow it down. Everything that society, tech, everything has designed for one thing, faster. Faster cars, faster connections, faster downloads, faster uploads, faster information. Faster, faster, faster. But he slowed down. The world, I mean, just whizzing by him. And he's got the focus on God. And God did something. We know the story. He found the old woman, that black sister there leaning on her fence, says, I was waiting for you. What if he had been so caught up and so busy and so moving fast that she waited and waited and waited and he never came? What if, young man, you got so fast and so focused that Mrs. Perfect waited and waited and waited and you never came? Sister, what if you got moving so fast and so focused on what you want and how you want it to go that Mr. Perfect waited and waited and waited and you never came? Y'all know the story about the princess in the castle? So the king had a daughter, and he told her every day, he says, when she got old enough, sweetheart, he's coming. He'll come riding in on a horse, dressed in armor as a knight. He's coming. And she waited, and she waited, and she got too old. She fell in love with a guy in the village. And the king told her, he's not the one. I already have arrangements for you. Just wait. Well, she didn't wait. She fell in love with this guy in the village. He's like a blacksmith or something. Got married, had kids. He turns out to be a drunk, beating her, not taking care of the family. She's just poverty-stricken in the streets, washing clothes several years later. And here comes her knight riding into the city. Rides up to the king, and the king has to tell him, look, she didn't wait. He rounds back up, and he rides out of the city. I don't want, who likes that story? I mean, is anybody excited now? It's depressing, but it doesn't have to be that way.
That's right.
Brother Bannon preaches marriage and divorce. It doesn't have to be that way. God says it's not so from the beginning. God has a vision of a family. If you marry the right one, young man, if you marry the right one, you're never going to have to figure out if you're okay to divorce her. Marry the white one from the beginning, and you never have to go there. Say, Pastor, am I allowed to divorce her or not? Right? Like that's not an issue if from the beginning you seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. You say, Lord, what is it you have for me? And he might say, look, it might be right away, 19 years old. I mean, we'll check with your pastor. That might be false doctrine. But I know some couples that have done that, and it's worked out great. So, but anyways, God might ask you to wait. You know, I waited a few years, not too long, but... Some people, you know, it's like 40, and it's whatever God has a plan for them. I feel that the ice is cracking, so I'm going to step back to shore here. Yes, quickly. So it doesn't matter, but if your focus is the Lord, then you see the world, everybody and their brother has a plan for your life. I'm going to close this because we're getting musicians want to come. Everybody and has a plan for your life, but what is God's plan for your life? Because everybody has a picture, and if it's contrary to God's plan, it's just confusing. You can't even read the whiteboard. Well, what does it say? What does it mean? What does my future hold? And you can't read it because you're following somebody else's plan. But if you just wait, and you're patient, and you say, God, in your time, I know with your grace, you will give me a revelation of what I have need of. Suddenly, the picture is crystal clear. And there has been story after story. We just read a few of them. Paul, Caleb, right? Gideon. Story after story where men stood upon what God gave them a clear picture of, and they found the victory. And in our lives, whatever it is we have to overcome, it doesn't matter. You can be sin-free serving God, but you got to overcome your own insecurities. You got to overcome your own doubts. You got to overcome the things about it. You know, like I said, the message has been going around the world for years, and there were some pictures that were taught that looked like this. And God comes along with the clarity. Now you have to say, Lord, wash me of what I thought you were and show me who you really are. And saints, it's that simple. That's all we have to do. Say, Lord, show me. And we feed on his word and we say, Lord, show me. And we come to church and guess what will happen? Brother Barry will preach exactly what you were thinking about. A visiting minister will come through and preach exactly what you were talking about, what you were reading about, because God is, what God does is he gives you something and then he proves it.
Amen.
Brother Barry preached a message, God proving his word. He doesn't ask us to have faith based on nothing. He gives us evidence to base our faith upon. He gives us something to lay hold of. How did we know? Brother Branham talks about, oh, look at the priests. The priests had the fruits of the Spirit. The priests had all these things. And you're going to take Jesus, the guy who's beating people out of the temple? Brother Branham says, how are we supposed to know who's who? Who's the right one? He says, Jesus manifested everything the Scriptures said about him. So everything the Word says about Jesus, he brought to pass. Now, he wants us to take up the cross and fulfill everything he said about the bride of Jesus Christ. In our families, at the job, in school, in traffic. That gets me. I don't know why. Traffic just gets me. Lord, help me. Surrender more and he can give me a clear revelation of how to drive in traffic. But it's Jesus on display for the world to see. And guess what? When they see it, they'll know. It'll either make them run to you or run from you. But they'll know. Is that our desire tonight? Lord, make yourself so real to me that even the world can't deny that man knows Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. It's the Wednesday night, Lord. I love it. We come together after a long day, put our feet under the table, and you just put on a meal. Lord, your word, and it feeds our souls, Lord. It just does something to us. The atmosphere, you're here, you're present with us, and we just are so refreshed, Lord. We're challenged, but not overwhelmed. We're inspired, not distraught, not depressed. Lord, we're ready to stand up and fight again. We're ready to draw our swords as you've sharpened them tonight and readjusted our focus, Lord, as the devil is a constant onslaught to get us distracted with the world. But Lord, you have given us the power of revelation to overcome. I pray you just be with each one tonight, Lord. Everything that was covered, Lord, the young men who have decisions to make, the young women who have decisions to make, the married couples who have decisions to make as they raise their children, as they pursue career changes, as they pursue them, Lord, the shift in the landscape, the world that we're living in. Lord, whatever it might be, may you help us to first stop and say, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? And lead me into that. And that the whole thing, the whole picture would be manifested in the bride of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we begin to manifest your word, we begin to become just like you. And then we can get out of here. Then we can step into eternity. Because when eternity gets too much for time to hold, eternity goes back to eternity. Thank you, Jesus. It's only by your grace that you've called us. Only by your grace that you've given us this vision. May you help us in the trying times to lay a hold of that vision and stand true no matter the odds. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing this. He's playing in his time. Or she's playing, I'm sorry. In his time.
In his time. In his time. He makes all things beautiful. In his time. As you're teaching me, you're
Enjoyed that tonight. I will tell you, Brother Chris, I'm not just saying this because this is what you should say when a visiting minister comes and ministers, but I really enjoyed that tonight. I got a lot out of that. I feel like I have only one problem with it, and that is that I didn't preach it first. I went to Aldi's up here after service Sunday morning, and I preached a lot of years, you know. I mean, I preached a lot of sermon. And we left here, and we had a couple of things that we needed to do, and we were going to meet someone for lunch, and I went to Aldi's, and I was going to grab a cart and just grab a couple of things real quick. And I noticed all the carts were chained together. And I thought, wow, do people steal carts? Anyway, I was chained together. So this old guy, I mean, he's old, and he comes around the corner with a cart, and this cart's holding him up, and he's just going like this. And I said to him, sir, I said, are there carts over there? I said, these are all chained up. And he said, he kind of, you know, did this, looked at me, and he said, yeah, there are some over here. And I said, these are chained. And he said, those are too. And I was thinking, how do you get a card if they're all chained up? How did you get that? He said, here, you take this. And I said, no, I don't want to take your card. I said, I'll go get one, but tell me how to do it. He said, no, you're a fine preacher. He said, just take this card and off you go. And I looked at him like this, and he said, you're a preacher, right? I said, yeah. He said, you look like a real fine preacher. I said, now, I might be a preacher. I don't know about fine, but I might be. But I'm a preacher. And he said, take this card. He said, I want to give it to you. And so I took the card and went off, and he went back and I guess got his own or however you get the cards. I saw him later in the store and I waved at him. You know, here he was with his cart going along the road. Been a preacher. I'm just saying, I've been a preacher a lot of years. But I really enjoyed that. And I think it's a wonderful thing because I know what that was like when everything in the world is fuzzy and unclear, and all of a sudden God just turns the lens and all of a sudden it's clear.
Amen.
And I gotta say this, I'm sorry, but I gotta say this. I remember one of my grandsons had a vision problem. And we never knew what it was. Nobody ever knew what it was. And finally went to an eye doctor, and the doctor prescribed a set of glasses for him. And he came out, and he had those glasses. And I mean, it broke our hearts. I mean, my wife and I both wept because it was just so amazing to watch him all of a sudden. And he didn't want to walk on the lines because now he could see him. And he was just noticing all kinds of details he'd never seen before. And it was just like it was just such a moment. And we have pictures of it, but I don't need the pictures. I don't need to see them. There's my mind, it's still there. To see how it all came together and it was all clear for me. And only revelation can do that. Only revelation can do that. I enjoyed that tonight. And I want to say one more thing. Well, I'm going to say two more things. If you feel led to speak on families, you speak on families, because I don't know it all. And I don't like it when people come here and say, well, I can't say anything about marriage or families because Brother Barry's here. Well, I'm giving you permission, all right, just to do that. And then the last thing I want to say is this, because I need to explain why I went to the World Council of Churches website, okay? And this is for not just for you, this is for the world, okay? I got to tell you this. This year, this next month, is the 1700th anniversary of Nicaea. 1700 years ago, the Nicaea Council took place. And I figured, they must be doing something. Because it's 1700 years, almost to the day when they had the Nicaea Council. Now the Nicaea Council was a kind of a life-changing big deal, right? And I thought, if they're going to do something, it'll be a big deal. I should take Aaron, we go to Rome or go to wherever, and we'll go see what they're up to. And I figure who else would coordinate that but the World Council of Churches. And sure enough, they have an event, but the event is being held in some monastery in the desert in Egypt, and I thought, I don't want to do that. But that's why I went, because 1700 years ago, they gathered together and changed things. And compromised on the Word of God. And I thought if there was an event on that we could go to, maybe we could say something and tell them there's a better way. Because I'm seeing this a little clearer now than maybe when you did at 325 A.D., but I'm not going. But I'm glad for the focus God's given us. And that's what separates us. That's what you should be thankful for. Because you would never have that if it wasn't for God. You'd never have that. Amen.
It's Jesus.
Lord, that speaks to our hearts so personally. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that everyone here tonight, under the hearing of this word, and those that are listening and those that will archive, I pray, Lord, that their vision would be clear. Because this is not a time for us to be unclear or to be following some uncertain sound. But you've given us a certain sound. You've given us a clear sound of a trumpet that gathers your people together. And I pray now that you would be merciful. And Lord, open the eyes of those that need to see tonight. We thank you, Lord, for our time together. And I feel, Lord, it's been profitable for us to be in the house of the Lord. Now, Lord, have your way, I pray. Minister to each and every soul, Lord, as we go from this place tonight. And I pray, Lord, in the balance of our week that you will be merciful. And Lord, you'd be mindful of all of us and the different things we're going through. You know all about it, Lord. We commit our days into your hands now. The remaining time we have left on this earth, we commit to you. And Lord Jesus, may we have a true understanding, Lord, of the days we live in, the times we find ourselves. And Lord, I pray you would just prepare our hearts for that time when we shall leave here. We love you with all of our hearts. Bless Brother Chris, Lord, as he ministers in this journey this week, Lord. And I just ask that you would have control, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, speak to us. Bring healing to those who need it. Comfort, Lord, to those who mourn and those who are alone. We commit them to you. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. And all God's people said, sing it as you go tonight.